WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican lawmakers are now stating that a $32 million cut to the University of Wisconsin system is the minimum they would like to see cut. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said Republicans in the Assembly are united, and he's working with his colleagues in the state Senate to see if they can cut more from the UW system. The revelation comes after Republican lawmakers delayed a vote on the system's budget late on Tuesday, and after Democratic Governor Evers stating he would veto a budget with a cut to public education that large. Budget-writing state lawmakers will not put $340 million in the state budget to invest in childcare centers in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
Wisconsin got $340 million from Washington to keep the state's childcare industry going during the pandemic. Senator LaTanya Johnson is from Milwaukee.
For the employers that rely on that workforce to keep their factories open, to keep those grocery stores open that we relied on every single day during the pandemic, for those hospitals that relied on those frontline workers to save our lives.
Democrats and child care workers want the state to take over the child care subsidy permanently. Macy Bueller owns a child care center in DeForest. She says money from the Child Care Counts program accounts for 20% of her budget. She says that money helps her pay her employees and helps keep tuition down for parents.
Without child care counts and some other investment, I don't think we'll get out of this hole that we're in for child care.
Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee have argued throughout the budget process that child care is an important component of economic development. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Lawmakers and officials of the Department of Public Instruction seem to be at an impasse when it comes to details surrounding a bill to overhaul elementary reading instruction.
We know that there is a great deal of research that shows that there are mixed results at best for any kind of retention for students. What we do support are the other pieces of this legislation, including the development of individualized reading plans and additional diagnostic screenings to better understand the root cause of a child's reading issue.
Laura Adams is the Policy Initiatives Advisor with the state DPI. Forecast calls for hotter temperatures this weekend and next week. That means a bigger risk for people with heart conditions.
Those who are physically ill, especially individuals with heart disease, high blood pressure, who take certain medications which are very common, such as medications for depression, insomnia, or the inability to sleep, or for general conditions of poor circulation.
Dr. Pernegas is a cardiologist with Washington University Medical School in St. Louis, and that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man died after a motorcycle crash on the on-ramp to I-94 from Highway 93 in Eau Claire. 56-year-old Stephen Berndt of Oliva was taken to a hospital in Eau Claire where he died from his injuries. No other vehicles were involved, according to the Wisconsin State Patrol. Officials are investigating the death of a child on La Crosse's north side. The La Crosse Police Department is investigating, along with the Wisconsin State Patrol and the Wisconsin Department of Justice. No other details have been released about the case. And today is the opening of the outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls. The pool is scheduled to open today at noon. The pool, which was supposed to open last Friday, needed to delay its opening by a week due to a burst pipe that was discovered in the middle of last week. The pipe has since been repaired. And congratulations to Ithaca and St. Croix Falls for winning state baseball championships yesterday in Grand Chute. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers are back at home tonight. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers opening a three-game weekend series tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. As for television coverage, it will only be streamed on Apple TV. The crew had yesterday off after being swept in back-to-back series against the Oakland A's and the Minnesota Twins. Craig Counsell on trying to snap a six-game losing streak.
Nobody's happy when you're on your little losing streak. You know, day off comes at a good time and get ready for, whatever we got, 20 or so games in 21 days, I think, before the break or something like that. So it's a tough stretch, and, we're going to have to play well.
The Pirates now with just a half-game lead above the Brewers after they lost again last night to the Cubs, the final 7-2. The Cubbies swept the Pirates in that three-game series at Wrigley Field. Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, we've been through a couple tough stretches already this season, and that, like I've said before, this group's pretty resilient. We just got to stay away from the big inning. I mean, we had big innings in all three games in this series, and we just need to move on and get to Milwaukee.
So the Pirates now with just a half-game lead above Milwaukee. They've lost 6 of their last 10 games. They'll send left-hander Rich Hill against the Brewers' Julio Teheran. In golf, round 2 of the U.S. Open in L.A. today, atop the leaderboard, Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele both finishing at 8 under par after round 1. NFL, the Packers' outside linebacker Rashawn Gary was asked, when does he think he'll be able to return after suffering that torn ACL in his right knee last November at Ford Field against the Lions?
Is your plan to be ready for the opener in Chicago?
I'll be ready when I'll be ready.
Do you think you'll be ready in training camp at all?
I'll be ready when I'll be ready.
Joe Barry's defense really missed Rashawn's presence the latter half of the season. He talked about the days after his knee surgery.
I'll tell you, like, a very emotional day was my first steps, because I've been getting better day by day. Like, that's really where my head been. So nothing really been hard on me, but my very emotional day for me was my first steps, and my mom was able to see me walk to the car.
That's Packers outside linebacker Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin. Yeah, welcome to the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning, the 16th of June. Hope you're having a great day so far. And we've got a lot in the news to cover today. Going to try to cover as much as we can, give you some headlines, give you some sports, what's going on today. And if you want to join in the program, feel free. The phone number here is 715-388-7155. And outside today should be a pretty nice day. Mostly sunny skies across western Wisconsin, highs in the upper 70s in most places. And in sports, the Brewers were off yesterday, but they start a big three-game series with the Pirates tonight in Milwaukee. And despite their six-game losing streak, the Brewers are just a half game behind the Pirates, who have lost their last three games. If you want to see some good baseball, check out a Brewers game this weekend. And I say that because both teams are on a losing streak, but I think both teams are pretty good. But if you want to get on a losing streak, now's the time to do it rather than in August. But what happened today in history? On this date in 1933, the FDIC was created at the height of the Great Depression to protect our deposits in the nation's banks. And on this date in 1903, the Ford Motor Company was founded. And in music, on this date in 1980, the movie The Blues Brothers premiered in Chicago. The first album from Roxy Music was released on this date. Also released on this date, David Bowie's groundbreaking album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. And I was just talking with my producer, Aaron, about that, and told him I remember when it came out, and it seemed like that day after that album came out, everything was different. Everything changed right then, and there was a new way of looking at music. Up until then, we'd been listening to lots of blues-based music from, you know, bands like the Allman Brothers and the Grateful Dead and all the British bands, the Stones and the Beatles and the Who, but then all of a sudden, Ziggy Stardust. And I was telling Aaron that I remember on the back of the album, it said to be played at maximum volume. I took that to heart. And also on this date in 1967, the first day of the Monterey International Pop Festival, an incredible festival, the first big rock and roll festival with an incredible lineup of innovative artists, the most innovative artists of the day. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, the Jefferson Airplane, the Grateful Dead, and The Who, quite a concert. And that was the beginning of the big rock and roll festivals. Monterey, down in Monterey. And in the headlines today, lots of things going on in Wisconsin. That's for sure. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are pushing to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the UW system, calling them wasteful and divisive. Yeah, why would you want diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the college system, is what they say. The U.S. Supreme Court sided with Wisconsin's Oneida Nation and four other tribal nations in upholding a law to keep Native, foster, and adoptive kids with Native families when possible. Governor Evers said he won't sign a Republican literacy bill unless there are some major changes to it. Also from Madison, Republican lawmakers early this morning, some may say in the dead of the night, voted down a child care program that may cause large tuition hikes, worsening staff shortages, and even the closure of some child care facilities. Yeah, why help people with child care, right? I don't know. Sometimes it just makes you scratch your head. But let's get back to that first story. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers pushing to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the UW system, calling them wasteful and divisive. And the headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story on this says Republicans escalate rift with Evers on UW system funding, saying a $32 million cut could go deeper. Yeah, $32 million isn't enough. Let's cut even more, right? Dateline Madison, the day after, Governor Tony Evers said he wouldn't sign a budget that includes a $32 million cut to the University of Wisconsin system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said he thinks the cut could be even larger. The Rochester Republican told reporters on Thursday that the Assembly GOP, the Assembly Republicans, are absolutely rock solid on the UW system budget, which the legislature's Joint Finance Committee has yet to take up. Voss said he hasn't spoken with Senate Republicans about where they stand, and his quote is, "I certainly think the cut could be deeper. I'm certainly open to that, so we'll have to see where the Senate is. Maybe they want to do more than we do," end quote. A spokesman for Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Republican from Oostburg, said there he had nothing to share on the Senate's position at this time. Senator Steve Nass from Whitewater, Republican, said in a statement on Thursday that he supports Voss's efforts and has urged Senate Republicans on the Budget Writing Committee, quote, that they should not only support Voss's proposal, but look for ways to expand the level of cuts to wasteful spending in the UW system, end quote. Now, we're all for saving money and we're all for getting rid of wasteful spending, but I don't know if it's a good idea to be cutting back on the UW system at this time. What do you think? Let me continue here. It says the $32 million cut is rooted in an effort to eliminate funding for DEI. That stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. To eliminate funding for DEI programming on campuses, which Voss has characterized as a waste of taxpayer dollars that stokes further division. Now, why would you want to have diversity, equity, and inclusion programming on campus? And here's a quote. It says, for people on the left, DEI has become their new religion. Voss told reporters on Wednesday, he said they no longer go to church on Sunday. Talking about people on the left. They no longer go to church on Sunday, but boy, are they trying to make sure that everybody is evangelized on campus, that there's only one acceptable viewpoint. That's not what I think taxpayers should be funding. Now, personally, I've always thought that colleges and universities were a place where people go to explore different ideas. But Voss said that that's not the way it is any longer, that on campus, everybody has to believe that there's only one acceptable viewpoint. I don't know about that. Another thing that makes you scratch your head. And on Thursday, yesterday, Voss said the $32 million figure came from an open records request that produced all of the staff titles related to DEI programming. In other words, Voss wants to cut any staff that deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And another quote from Voss says, so the cut that we're talking about doesn't even really cut everything at the university that is DEI related, because we didn't necessarily have a way to get at that. So in other words, even though he's trying to cut everything, he can't cut everything because they don't have a way to find out all of the numbers, all of the possible staff positions that may be related to DEI. Voss goes on and said, that's why I said, if the Senate wants to go deeper so we can try to make sure we get all the money that's being wasted on DEI, I'd certainly be open to that. End quote. Voss's interest in campus diversity offices coincides with a national campaign to dismantle offices and programs focused on DEI at public colleges across the country. UW System President Jay Rothman has talked up the importance of DEI programming, which can help recruit and retain non-traditional students at a time of declining enrollment for most campuses. Evers, a Democrat, said Wednesday he would not sign any budget that includes a $32 million cut, calling the proposal ridiculous. That's in quotation marks. Evers had proposed a $305 million increase for the UW system in his budget. Sounds reasonable, $305 million for the UW system. But instead of going along with his proposal, Voss and the Republicans want to cut at least $32 million. And here's a quote from the governor. He says, to cut at this point in time, the University of Wisconsin system, when we have a $7 billion surplus, is irrational. I'm hopeful that will change before the budget is passed. Lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee were poised to vote on the UW system budget Tuesday afternoon, but after spending 8 hours behind closed doors, they announced the vote would be delayed to a later date. What do you think? You have an opinion on that? If so, feel free to call 715-388-7155. Let us know what you're thinking. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
A drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job, and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. In my life, why do I give valuable time to people who don't care if
summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO.
That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour.
This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO.
608-949-8989.
weather is brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. With spring here and summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to take the family to enjoy a feature film. See scheduled showings and find out how to rent the theater by logging on AmoryTheater.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 77 today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 54 tonight, mainly clear. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 83. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 70s to the mid 80s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 52.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. They came on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan. Time jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass. He was the Naz with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar.
Yeah, there's a classic for you, released on this day back in 1972. Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. I tell you, when that album came out, everything changed. The whole world was different. That's what we thought at the time. It's like we'd never heard anything like that before. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning, 8:24 right now, discussing several topics, including one that we touched on yesterday just for a few minutes as it was breaking news yesterday. But let me give you a little bit more information on this, since it does affect one of the tribes in Wisconsin. U.S. Supreme Court sides with the Oneida Nation. and other tribes in upholding a law to keep Native foster and adoptive kids with Native families. That headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it says here, the U.S. Supreme Court decided yesterday, Thursday, in a 7-2 ruling to uphold a law that gives preference to Native American families in foster care and adoption proceedings, a law that tribal nations consider essential to their future survival. The law, called the Indian Child Welfare Act, was enacted by Congress in 1978 to address the disproportionate rates at which Native children were removed from their homes and placed with non-Native families, and was meant to help Native children remain connected with their tribal communities and culture. Here's a quote. "I think that everyone in Indian country is breathing a big sigh of relief right now," said Dan Lawrence, assistant professor at the University of North Dakota School of Law and a member of the Iowa Tribe of Kansas and Nebraska. Quote, "The threat that this case posed could not be overstated, and for now at least that threat has been put aside," end quote. The challenge to the law was brought by Texas and by families who sought to adopt Native children and whose adoption requests were either delayed or denied. The Oneida Nation, located just outside of Green Bay, was one of five tribal nations across the country that intervened in the case called Holland versus Brackeen on the side of the U.S. government to defend the 1978 law, also known as ICWA. Quote, "Let me be clear, this law is not about preventing non-Native families from adopting children when the situation and the best interests of the child call for it. It's about keeping families together whenever possible. It's about fighting for the futures of Native American children, and it's about giving tribes a long-awaited seat at the table," end quote, wrote Oneida Nation Chairman Tahasi Hill in an op-ed published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel earlier this year. In its ruling, written by Justice Amy Coney Barrett, the Supreme Court rejected several of the arguments brought by the ICWA's challengers. Among them, the challengers argued that Congress didn't have the authority to enact the ICWA and that it unlawfully commandeers state courts by telling them how to conduct child welfare proceedings. Lawrence, the assistant law professor and former staff attorney at the Native American Rights Fund, said the court made the right decision in rejecting arguments that ignored decades of legal precedent and settled law. So it sounds like good news. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into your Civic Media radio station.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty señorita waiting for me down in old Mexico, and if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo. Oh, my sweet Fraulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn, and my China doll down in old Hong Kong waits for my return. Pretty Polynesian baby over the sea, I remember the night when we walked in the sands of Waikiki and I held you oh so tight.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Death and destruction in the South. A swirling twister that touched down in Perryton, a community in the Texas Panhandle. At least 3 dead, some 200 homes destroyed, damage widespread.
Everything was covered to a point I couldn't even get to the fire station.
Fire Chief Paul Dutcher, and 1,000 miles away in Pensacola Beach, Florida, another tornado killed one person. Pope Francis released from a Rome hospital this morning after more than a week. The 86-year-old pontiff had intestinal surgery and a hernia repair and is said to be looking forward to holding Sunday's noontime prayer overlooking St. Peter's Square. The smoke from Canadian wildfires continues to drift across the U.S. Yesterday, states including Minnesota, Wisconsin, and parts of Illinois saw clouds of smoke affecting air quality. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man died after a motorcycle crashed on the on-ramp to I-94 from Highway 93 in Eau Claire. 56-year-old Stephen Burnt of Oliva was taken to a hospital where he later died from his injuries. No other vehicles were involved, according to the Wisconsin State Patrol. Most of western Wisconsin is in drought, and now wildfire danger is high, according to the DNR. Warm weather, low humidity, and drought are creating ideal conditions for fires to spread. There have been 43 wildfires this week across the state, and 551 so far this year, about the same number as this time a year ago. And the state high school baseball championships wrapped up yesterday. Ithaca won the championship in Division 4. St. Croix Falls knocked off Aquinas to take home the Division 3 crown. And the state high school girls soccer championship began yesterday. Ashland fell to top-seeded Edgewood 5-1. It's the final championship in high school sports this year. I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media News.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On Wednesday, June 14th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert. The Cattail Moonstring Band performs live at 6 o'clock. On June 16th, stop by the Danielson Stage in Amory and enjoy the Music on the River event. Starts at 5 o'clock with the Bluesers, and that's followed by Frank Bush and the Names at 7 p.m. On June 17th, the Women's Club Arts and Crafts Fair is held at North Park in Amory from 9 until 3. Stop by, enjoy the food, and a variety of vendors. Plus, don't worry, parking is free. And on June 19th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46. That's in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome to attend.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us, and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. And feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine, California sun, hey Bobby. body next to mine. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. That's all that Bobby left me. Funny feeling good was easy alone when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
Yeah, me and Bobby McGee from Janice Joplin on a Friday morning. We got 8:35 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Yeah, some great music. We were talking earlier about the first day of the Monterey International Pop Festival taking place on this date back in 1967. Boy, talk about things changing. A lot of things changed on that weekend, that's for sure. That's when the baby boomers found out just how many of them there were. When they came together at Monterey to see Janis and Jimi Hendrix and The Who and The Grateful Dead and The Jefferson Airplane, the cutting-edge music artists of the day. All right, let's get back to some current stuff. Things going on today in the year 2023. And at this time, how important would you say child care is? Affordable child care. Quality child care. Is it important for parents to have a place to take their kids when they have to go off to work? A place that they can rely on, a place that's staffed with well-qualified people. How important is that? Most people would say it's pretty important, right? Unless you're a Republican lawmaker in Wisconsin. This headline says, this is from the Journal Sentinel, Republican lawmakers block extending pandemic-era program called Child Care Counts. Republican lawmakers who control the process of writing the next two-year state budget on Friday rebuffed calls from Governor Tony Evers and other Democrats to make permanent a pandemic-era program that has helped keep child care centers open in an unstable economy. The Joint Finance Committee, or the Joint Committee on Finance, voted 11-4 early Friday, some may say in the dead of the night, to reject a proposal from committee Democrats to spend $340 million on a program known as Child Care Counts, which began in November of 2021 after the governor, Evers, directed $351 million in federal pandemic relief dollars to keep the program running through the end of 2023. Senator Kel DeRoys, Democrat from Madison, told committee members before the vote that if they did not fund the program, quote, I'm going to make it my mission to make sure it is the last thing that any of you ever get to cut, and I will find someone to replace you, end quote. Representative Jesse Rodriguez, Republican from Oak Creek, said the $121 million increase in funding for programs overseen by the State Department of Children and Families would help stabilize some child care centers through a $15 million fund to provide loans to child care providers. So it's not free money, it's loans that they want to offer these child care providers. Friday's vote came after heavy lobbying by child care providers and Democratic lawmakers. Ahead of the vote, Evers urged committee members to continue funding the program with state dollars. Quote, I hear it everywhere I go in Wisconsin. The Child Care Counts program has been a lifeline for families and child care providers across our state. And without this critical program, providers across our state will have to close their doors, and working parents and families will be left in the lurch without care for their kids, the governor said in a statement. Evers said, to date, the program has distributed $378 million in funding to 4,345 child care providers, which has helped pay for 22,000 staffers to care for 113,000 children. Sounds like a great program to me. And it says here the program had two goals: to increase access to child care statewide and to support child care workers with recruitment and retention efforts. Advocates who pushed for the program to continue with state funding warned that without the funding, parents could see large tuition hikes, worsening staff shortages, and the closure of programs. For many of the state's regulated child care providers, the monthly payments provided a stable revenue source without having to rely solely on parents. The program enabled many providers to increase staff wages, hire additional staff, or avoid tuition increases. A Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed survey distributed to child care providers found that for nearly half of its respondents, child care accounts comprises between 20 and 30% of their revenue. So how will things change if that revenue is not coming in? I don't understand it sometimes. You'd think that Republicans who often talk about the importance of families and the importance of children and the importance of having workers to fill positions at companies around the state, you'd think that they would support a child care program, especially when the money is there. So it's another thing that makes you scratch your head, right? Hey, I want to ask you this. How did you fare in the storms? Lots of storms overnight. All across the United States, it seems like, down south, in the Midwest, out east. This headline from CNN says 50 million people are under severe storm threat today. So the storms continue as one Texas town digs out after a deadly tornado. And it says here more than 50 million people across a large swath of the United States are under a severe weather threat Friday, today. One day after storms cut a deadly path across Texas and Florida. Three people were killed in Perryton, Texas, when a ruinous tornado slammed the town Thursday, the fire chief told CNN. The storm also sent up to 100 people in the Texas Panhandle town to the hospital with injuries ranging from head wounds to abrasions. According to the Ochiltree General Hospital interim CEO. And a person in Florida died after being trapped under a tree that fell on their home. Escambia County officials said that county, which includes Pensacola, was hit with flash flooding emergencies overnight, leading to high water rescues. The National Weather Service in Mobile, Alabama, reported early Friday, citing local rescuers. Widespread and significant flash flooding was continuing in West Pensacola, Warrington, and Gulf Breeze. Escambia County Emergency Management said numerous roadways remain flooded with water entering several structures. Emergency officials said nearly 150 residents of an apartment complex in Pensacola were moved amid the rising water Friday morning and taken to a community center for shelter, county officials said. Warrington, which is a town just south of Pensacola, got nearly a foot of rain in just 3 hours. Imagine that, 11 or 12 inches of rain in just 3 hours. Many homes would be flooded with that kind of rain going on. Radar estimates indicate as much as 16 inches of rain fell overnight. More is expected on Friday. A flash flood watch is in effect for the area until 7 p.m. Many of these areas that saw severe conditions Thursday could see storms return as a level 2 of 5 slight risk of severe storms is in place for parts of the South, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southern Plains. Large hail, and by the way, have you seen the video of the hail yesterday? Two inch pieces of hail. I don't know how you describe these things, but they're like baseballs almost. Large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes are possible in the slight risk areas, which include Montgomery and Mobile in Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas, Jackson, Mississippi, and Tallahassee, Florida. A marginal level 1 of 5 risk is in place from South Dakota to Florida, and for parts of the Mid-Atlantic, a huge zone that includes hard-hit Perryton. Other cities in the marginal risk area which could see large hail and damaging winds include Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Denver, and Jacksonville, Florida. The storm that swept through Perryton damaged homes and businesses in the town of some 8,000 residents, including the local fire department and EMS, as well as multiple mobile homes. Fire Chief Paul Dutcher said, noting many of the department's trucks were damaged. So the trucks from the fire department were damaged by these winds and the tornado. It says here, a tornado formed and it just dropped on us. It came out of nowhere. There were no sirens, no time to get to a shelter. Perryton resident Jamie James said, telling CNN she had to ride out the storm in her truck. There was a time I thought I was going to die, she said. Everything went crazy. Dumpsters were flying. Hailstones hitting the car. James' home is still standing, but the structure next to it is destroyed. She said the tornado is a devastating blow to the city she's lived in for 15 years. Quote, so many good people in this town. We look out for one another. End quote. The city's power facilities were shut off for safety purposes, according to XL Energy. Quote, transmission lines supplying the city with electricity have sustained damage, and many lower voltage distribution lines are down in the city. That's according to a spokesperson for the energy company. XL Energy personnel are working to ensure the safety of Perryton residents and first responders. An estimated time of restoration is not available yet. And as of 3 a.m. this morning, Central Time, more than 220,000 homes and businesses across Texas were in the dark, according to the tracking website poweroutage.us. And in neighboring Louisiana, more than 130,000 people or customers were without power, and outages were also reported in Oklahoma, Florida, and Alabama. Serious storms going on these days. Hang on tight. 8:47 right now. Going to take a quick break. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility, you have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Weather is brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. With spring here and summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to take the family to enjoy a feature film. See scheduled showings and find out how to rent the theater by logging on AmoryTheater.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
app. Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 77. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 54. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 83. Highs level off around 80 Sunday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. 86, mainly sunny skies Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 54.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
To give what I'm after till the day I die. I asked Bobby Dylan, I asked the Beatles, I asked Timothy Leary, but he couldn't help me either. They call me the Seeker. To get what I'm after till the day I die. People tend to hate me 'cause I never smile. As I ransack their homes, they wanna shake my hand. Focusing on nowhere, investigating miles. I'm a seeker, I'm a really desperate man.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:52 right now. Music from The Who, Seeker. And earlier we were discussing that today is the anniversary of the first day of the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967. The Who being one of those bands that was there. And I believe their album Tommy had just been released or was on the way, because I do believe they played portions of that at the event. And that was the beginning of them and other bands doing rock operas, you know, entire albums that are that tell a story. Boy, those were the days, huh? A big gathering of young people. Hey, there's speaking of gatherings, there's a big gathering going on this weekend in La Crosse. Are you going to be there? It's the Wisconsin Republicans. Yep, meeting for their convention this weekend in La Crosse. What can you expect? Here's a story from Bill Glauber and Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They say four state Republicans gathered this weekend at their party convention in La Crosse. The event's motto says it all: red to the roots. That's the motto of their convention, red to the roots. Quote, "That's what we're focused on, building from the ground up, organizing county parties and getting out the vote," said Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Quote, "We've done a good job getting out the Republican vote," end quote. But the party, the Republican Party in Wisconsin, which has lost 14 of the last 17 statewide races is aiming to win over and turn out independents as well, Jefferson said. Republicans are preparing for next year's big federal races for president, U.S. Senate, and the House. State Republicans will also be gearing up for the 2024 National GOP Nominating Convention in Milwaukee. But for all the focus on the future, Republicans are still dealing with the disappointment of the spring state Supreme Court race, where conservative candidate Dan Kelly was soundly defeated by Janet Protasiewicz, a liberal backed by Democrats. There will be training on Friday, convention sessions on Saturday, and a prayer breakfast on Sunday. Myra Flores, a former congresswoman from Texas, will speak to the delegates. And the party still doesn't have announced candidates to take on Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin next year. But with U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher announcing he won't challenge Baldwin, there will surely be plenty of backstage politicking. Madison businessman Eric Hovde, who ran in the 2012 GOP primary and lost to former Governor Tommy Thompson, will have a hospitality suite. Hovde has said he'll make a decision on running later this year. Franklin businessman Scott Meyer, who is also considering an entry into the race, told the Journal Sentinel in a text that he will be in La Crosse. U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany will also appear participating in a panel of House Republicans. Roger Roth, a former state senator who ran for lieutenant governor last year, has been floated as a potential candidate. He'll be on hand and is expected to join former gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels at a hospitality suite. Michaels isn't running, but he and Roth plan to thank the grassroots for their effort in the last race. Are you going to be there at the big Republican convention this weekend in La Crosse? I don't know. There might be other things going on that I might prefer to be at. Got 8:57 right now. Stick around. You're tuned into your Civic Media radio station.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
This is Rummage Sale Ruth, and I love rummage sale deals. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now at 609-949-8989. That's 609-949-8989. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. Bye now.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finn.